This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It is my pleasure to say hello to George Pepper, editor of Lynx Magazine. George, so great to catch up with you. I've been friendly with you for years, have followed your career in the golf business for decades, and you're still going strong. So it's great to connect.
Well, you too, Anne, as I say, back at you.
Back at you for sure. And I know this Lynx 100 is very exciting. This list is a new ranking of the top 100 golf courses in the world, voted on by golf course architects, which is interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, Lynx has been around for over 25 years now, and who better to do these such a ranking than Lynx Magazine, who's really, whose bailiwick is golf courses and golf course architecture and travel. And yet we'd never done it because the three other magazines now, originally Golf Magazine, Golf Digest, now Golf Week the last few years, all have their own very good lists. So the question is, you can't just be a me too, you need something to distinguish your list. And finally, after some about a decade of thinking about it, we came up with what we think is a good alternative, namely, as you say, using the golf architects, because who knows more about golf courses than the people who design them for a living. So we think we have something that's distinctive and arguably more definitive than the others.
Well, let's go right to the top. I will waste no time. Drum roll, please. And Cypress Point, the Alistair McKenzie gym, beats out Pine Valley for number one spot, Cypress Point.
Yeah, well, it's not like it won by 10 strokes or something. It was a nose. And it, you know, either one of them could arguably be the best in the world. I guess the difference is Pine Valley, there's probably no golf course in the world with a greater collection of 18 holes than Pine Valley. But for a singular experience in the game, for you know, just a great walk in nature, an exhilarating 18 holes, beautiful place to play. I don't think you can beat Cypress Point. I've always said there's no better place in the world to play badly than Cypress Point.
Just incredible views, incredible experience, if you can get on either of them, Cypress Point or Pine Valley. But what did the folks at Pine Valley think about coming in second to Cypress Point?
Well, you know, it's funny. I go back with Pine Valley because when I was at Golf Magazine, we started the ranking in 1979. And up to that point, Golf Digest had been ranking courses, but they had put them into groups of 10. So the first 10 golf courses tied for first place or 10th place, however we want to look at it. We were the first to actually rank courses numerically, and Pine Valley came out number one. And I remember very distinctly getting some negative reaction because everybody in the world then wanted to play the number one course in the world. So maybe they're a little relieved now that at least one magazine rates them number two.
Yeah, I'm looking at the scores, and you are correct. Very, very close. Cypress Point in this Links 100 list scored 48 points, and Pine Valley came in second, scored 47.58. So, very, very close margin for sure.
Yep.
Can you talk about how they were judged by these architects? What was the criteria mostly?
Yeah, I mean, that begs the question, how do you get these numbers? Well, first of all, the grading system was on a 5-point scale, with 5 being the best, but we allowed the architects to give half points, in other words, 3.5, 4.5. We gave a bonus for courses they visited in the previous 5 years. And again, sort of going back to the Golf Magazine theory of doing this versus Golf Digest. Golf Digest has always had a very strict list of criteria. I think it's almost 10 different categories, and they ask each of their panelists, I believe, at least is the way they always did do it, to rank each of those 10 categories for a course, whether it's beauty or chat resistance to scoring or shot values, all these things. And we felt that that was a bit, we have a bunch of busy people here, these architects. We're not going to ask them to do 10 votes for each golf course. And number two, if you have people as discerning as golf course architects, I don't think you need to tell them what makes a good golf course. And so what we've basically done is trust their own judgment. We did give them six guidelines, which I'll just run through you quickly.
Sure.
Number one, how well the course tests the full range of skills. Two, the design rhythm, the flow and balance of a course. Three, variety, both of the terrain and the individual holes. Four, the skill of the routing and the navigability of the golf course. Five, the beauty, setting, and course conditionings. And lastly, imaginative or admirably restrained use of the given land. Now, yeah, those were just guidelines, though. And the bottom line is we trusted each of them to come up with his or her own definition of what's best. So basically, what we have is an objective average of a couple hundred very subjective opinions.
Sure. And if you look at the routing of Cypress Point, the natural beauty, the meandering amongst the Pacific Ocean, it's hard to compete with that for sure, whether you're Pine Valley or not. Number three on the list, George Pepper, we go to Northern Ireland, Royal County Down. And I love Royal County Down. Just was able to play it for the fourth time this past summer. And oh, it's just better than ever. I was really happy to see a Northern Irish course number three. Your thoughts on Royal County Down?
Yeah, I mean that's another one. There's it's almost a combination of the great routing and individual holes of Pine Valley and the exhilaration, the seaside character of Cypress Point rolled into one. And then of course you have the international feel of Ireland. There's I think people who go up to that part of the world are kind of divided between those who love County Down and those who love Portrush. And Royal Portrush came in number nine, so. That ain't bad either. I think one of the things that struck me about the list and is that it mirrors sort of the domination of the world of three different elements. If you look at the 19th century, that was the British Empire, right? So we have, I don't know, it's like 20 some courses that appeared or were first designed in the 1880s, 1890s. And of those, I think 15 are GB&I courses. Now, if you go to the 20th century, which is the preponderance of the, it's like 63 or 4 members of this list, most of those, probably close to 40 of them, are US. I mean, the 20th century belonged to the United States. Now, here we are in the first quarter of the 21st century. Who knows, 75 years from now, what nation, if any, can be looked back upon as the dominant nation. What it is right now, it's the rest of the world is the dominant force, and certainly in golf. So there are about, I think there's 17 golf courses who appeared since 2000, and of those, I think 12 are outside the U.S. Most of them in the Far East, whether it's Australia, New Zealand, China, Vietnam. There's one for Vietnam. So I think the next few years, this list is going to change as golf courses are built more actively around the world. The fastest growing golf country in the world, I think, right now is Vietnam in
Wow.
terms
Yeah, I
of.
noticed that. I noticed a lot of courses on this Links 100 are from Australia. We can talk about that in a second. But getting back to Royal County Down, St. Andrews, when you're talking about courses, across the pond outside of the United States, St. Andrews is always at the top of that list. And I see Royal County Down is number three, Northern Ireland, and St. Andrews, Scotland is number five. That was interesting.
Yeah, and that of course offends me greatly because that's my favorite course in the world, and I
And you're a
actually
member of the
lived
RNA for sure.
there for a long time. So I'm willing to look the other way on that one. But it is my favorite golf course, bar none. But I also understand the opinion of a lot of people who come to the old course at St. Andrews and play it the first time and say, well, what's the big deal here? When Sam Snead came into St. Andrews in 1948 for the Open on a train, he looked out the window. He said, look, an old abandoned golf course. I said, no, pal, that's where you're going to be playing the Open Championship next week. So it's not a visually impressive course. And I think in that regard, if you were to take the top 10 courses in Ireland and compare them to the top 10 in Scotland, I think Ireland wins. They're much more, again, exhilarating. They're sited much more closely to the sea, some of them on cliffs above the sea. But where Scotland wins, in my view, is in bench strength. You can play 50 courses in Scotland and never play a bad one. And I don't think you can do that in Ireland.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ireland, I think every time you play this incredible golf course, you just drive 20 minutes down the road and you see another course and you can play that's just as spectacular. It's just, but maybe it's because Ireland, up until maybe 25 years ago, wasn't really a well-known golf destination. People, Americans would go to Scotland knowing that St. Andrews was the birthplace of golf. But it's really in the last, say, 25 years that American golfers have been educated about the incredible links courses and parkland courses in Ireland and Northern Ireland. I feel, I know I do a lot of coverage of golf in Ireland. So I feel like, I played a lot of them in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. And it's interesting to see Royal County Down as number three above number nine, Royal Port Rush, which is hosting the Open Championship again, 6 years after they did it. So yeah, I mean, great that Ireland's on this list a few times and that people are recognizing Royal County Down and Royal Port Rush.
Yeah, well, I think the reason for the Irish ascendance is, and Scotland would, I think, be the first to admit this, the Irish Tourist Board has done a much better job over the last 20 or 30 years than the Scottish Tourist Board has. They have really marketed themselves. They go to the PGA show. And, yes, the old course in Scotland has attracted a lot of people for the last 50 years. But then, those people go to Scotland a couple of times and they say, well, let's take a look at Ireland, and they aren't disappointed.
That's right. And then you have Lahinch at number 23.
Yeah, I love the hinge.
Yeah, I think Ireland will be happy with this Links 100 list for sure. Let's move to the east end of Long Island because, as you know, that's my hometown. And National Golf Links of America, the CB McDonald, just incredible course built back in what, 1889, is number four, beating Shinnecock Hills just by two. Shinnecock number six. That's interesting, George.
Yeah, well, again, if you look at the scores there, National 46.3 and Shinnecock 45.3, they're not too far apart. I think one of the reasons for that, remember, these are architects, and National has a very famous architect in C.B. McDonald.
Sure.
Shinnecock's architecture is often debated, and it's not, there's a bunch of guys who are involved with that. It's not quite the same. And I think, there may be an inordinate reverence for McDonald and Rayner. If you ask me, no, because I love them, those guys. But that might be the reason, because it's not, National isn't the test of golf. You couldn't hold a U.S. Open there,
Right.
at least not without a pretty low score. But it sure is a charmer, and it has some really interesting holes.
And they've held Walker Cups there. But yeah, I mean, obviously it borders Shinnecock, and people will say they just love National because it's playable.
Well, yeah,
It's
that,
not
you
going to
know,
kill you.
I had been fortunate to play those courses, not a lot, maybe a half dozen times each over 50 years. And I, you know, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I loved Shinnecock because I was, you know, young and I was fit and I could play reasonably well. When I was in my 40s and 50s, I liked Maidstone because I was kind of a family man then. And this appealed to me. What a beautiful, I think it's the
Sure.
only club in the Met area whose beach is the Atlantic Ocean. All right, so
Right.
now I'm in my 60s and 70s. I kind of like bumping it around National.
It's just both are extraordinary. And the fact that the East End of Long Island has so many courses we can talk about here. So National Golf Links came in number four, Shinnecock number six. Then you have Fisher's Island, a Seth Raynor gem, 32. And Friars had 35. So the East End of Long Island, well represented on this Links 100 list, George.
Remember though, Fisher's Island is in New York State. That's my favorite course within 3,000 miles of here.
Is that right? Talk about Fisher's Island. Why do you love
Well,
it so?
I'm very lucky to be doing their centennial history as we speak. When
Oh.
we hang up today, I'll go back to work on that. And it's just, well, again, it's Seth Raynor, and he had maybe his, probably without question, his best piece of land. I don't know what exactly the number of shots you can see salt water from, but it's something like if there are 36 shots tee to green, it's something over 30. And it's just a great collection of his template holes and just, and again, a great walk.
Isn't it great to be in this business? And how many decades now have you been doing this, George? Traveling the world, playing these golf courses,
I'm on my
editing,
50th
writing
year.
about this great sport. It's a blessed life, right?
Yeah, this is just 50 years for me. I think this year maybe 51. So yeah, we remember Herb Grampus. He said, "Welcome to the toy department." That's when I got hired by Golf Magazine. Welcome to the toy department. And it's just, yeah, we're. I think it was Jimmy Cannon, a sports writer, the New York sports writer, said, "Golf writers are sports writers. Golf writers in particular are underpaid and overprivileged."
We'll leave it at that. How true. How true. George Pepper, always a pleasure. Links Magazine editor, really fun to look at this Links 100 list. Continued success.
Thanks, Anne. See you out there.